This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
In today's edition of Castle Playhouse, we present the story Open Verdict, written by Lester Powell and produced by Brian O'Shaughnessy.
Come in. The door isn't locked.
These stairs certainly do test out the old bellows. Hello, old boy. What can I do for you then, huh? Does he want to go out?
Well, that's the general idea. He usually does it this time.
Good hunting, eh?
And does most of his hunting in the bishop's dustbins, I'm afraid. No sense of reverence.
I saw your car outside, so I thought I'd wander up.
Nice to see you.
And how are things with you? Busy?
So-so.
Belongs to another age, doesn't it? The cathedral, those old lawns. Even the rooks don't look contemporary. Are they rooks?
Ravens.
I didn't realize there were private dwellings in the close. How did you find it?
Through my boss. It's cathedral property, and he plays the organ.
Does he? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, Mr. Earle is a man of parts.
He's a fine photographer.
Best in these parts, or so they say.
I didn't see you at the inquest.
I wasn't called.
I thought you would have been.
The other detective I talked to, chap with sandy hair...
Roy Shields.
He said I wouldn't be...
That was before the autopsy. The autopsy shed a different light on things. You see, there's barely 4 foot of water at low tide below Stevens's bridge where she was found. And so the injuries to her head could have been caused by a submerged rock if she threw herself off. On the other hand, she could have been coshed on the bank and thrown in.
Is that what they think?
There's a certain amount of water in the lungs, but not enough, apparently, to prove drowning. Emma, how old are you?
How old? 32. 33 in November. Why?
And you've been in Ashminster how long?
Just over a year.
Working for Graham Earle all this time?
More or less.
You take pictures too?
No, I do the selling. Postcards, calendars, the occasional illustrated guidebook.
And how much does that bring in?
About 17 a week, after tax.
Not much, is it?
I work the thin end mostly, the country area. Village stores, sub-post offices, itsy-bitsy gift shops.
Did Joan Kendall pay you?
What for?
The tuition.
It wasn't tuition. I was helping her prepare for an exam.
In what?
Modern history, her subject.
Ah, you have an Oxford degree, haven't you?
Cambridge, actually.
Now, talk about it. Give me a picture, something to bite on.
Do I get to ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Are you here officially?
Am I wearing my CID hat?
Yes.
Now, I'll tell you. I had this case thrown at me unexpectedly. Less than 2 hours ago, as a matter of fact.
Well, there are people in this town in the university who knew a whole lot better.
I know that.
Well, then why start with me?
I've got to kick off somewhere, haven't I?
Thanks.
You're a bright lad. You're good with words.
Look, Sergeant Piper.
Inspector Piper. The hoist came through yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thanks. You were saying?
I'm not completely stupid.
My dear chap.
An open verdict means that the whole thing, circumstances of her dying, happenings leading up to it, are all open to suspicion.
Investigation.
By definition, then, everyone connected with her is open to suspicion.
If you prefer it formal, we could wander down to the station.
But what I mean, there's method in this, isn't there? Dropping in, like, casually in the quiet of a summer's evening. I mean, there's technique to it, isn't there?
You'd feel happier, more relaxed in an interrogation room?
No.
Wise choice. They've just redecorated it. Mustard yellow, like fever. Shall we talk?
Go ahead.
How did you meet her?
Arnold Rowland's shop.
Ashminster Gifties.
He's a customer of mine. She works for him. Full-time out of term, part-time in. I asked her to a symphony concert in the cathedral.
Good. I want to make the distinction clear.
What distinction?
You saw her first as a girl, a woman, afterwards as a student, eh?
Oh, wait, wait. You're going at these fences too fast. You're saying there was a physical attraction?
Wasn't there?
I don't quite see the relevance.
What I'm looking for in point of relevance. She didn't die in that river for no reason at all. Put it this way. She has cross eyes and knocked knees. You still ask her to a concert.
I can't answer that.
Because she didn't have cross eyes and knocked knees?
Right.
What happened at the concert?
They played Berlioz, Saint-Saëns, Frederick the Great.
Who?
He found time to write music between building Potsdam and fighting wars. Afterwards, we had coffee, and I told her I'd once been a lecturer in modern history, and she told me about this exam and how worried she was about it, and I offered to help her.
The university provides an adequate tutorial system, would you say?
I believe it does, yes.
Did you need your help? What made you think she did?
I made the offer because I wanted to see more of her.
Didn't that enter into it?
Could have done. I liked her. I enjoyed her company.
In that case...
There is, believe it or not, something else in this beside physical attraction. I have a passion for history. What she offered was an opportunity to indulge it.
Just that one passion.
If you're asking, was I her lover, the answer is no.
She wasn't an innocent. And that at least emerged clearly with the autopsy.
Is that your point of relevance, her deflowered state?
It could be. This tuition, coaching, whatever. Where did it take place?
Here.
At night?
It had to be at night. I'm out of the city most of the day.
How many nights a week?
Two, three. Varied.
She arrived at what time?
Nine, sometimes later.
You'd work with her till when?
That, too, varied.
Hammer, she was seen and more than once leaving your flat at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right. Tell me something. Was her death a surprise?
Surprise? It was a kick in the guts.
Knowing her as well as you did.
Slow down. There you go again. My relationship with her wasn't intimate in any sense. She wasn't a girl to talk about herself or about her relationships with other people. The things that happened to her.
Unusual girl.
Now, that's where your point of relevance is, so far as it concerned me. What I liked about her, why I enjoyed her company, up to and beyond the horribly immoral hour of 2 o'clock in the morning, was the fact that she wasn't like everyone else, die-stamping in a miniskirt and long hair.
Was she a happy girl?
Not exactly. Not constantly.
Well, who is, even at 19?
Especially at 19.
Right.
I'd say she was a mercurial person.
Up one minute, down the next.
Of course, at 19, stamina, consistency isn't a common factor.
So we come out with this, do we? She was given to fits of depression.
Not depression, exactly. Boredom. She was given to great gaping fits of being bored.
That's a common factor at 19.
Very much so.
But few of them wind up in a river because of it.
If you're asking, did I see her as a suicide, I didn't. Couldn't have been that, I suppose, on a sudden impulse. If suicide is a thing of sudden impulse, which I doubt.
I don't go along with suicide myself. Your serious suicide doesn't cut herself into only 4 feet of water. If serious, she'd do homework on that. Besides, where's the motive? She was a good student. No emotional entanglements, no money problems.
She wasn't all that well off. She had to have a job to make her grant stretch.
She had £300 saved up, found in a room in crisp new fivers.
Well, that does surprise me. She often complained about being short of cash.
So, what do you think?
About the 300.
Why she died?
An accident?
She was standing on Stevens's Bridge in the middle of the night when she came over all faint and toppled off.
Possibilities, isn't
it? Hardly. The parapet on that bridge is 5 feet high.
Not something you could just trip over.
How much did Arnold Rowland pay her?
I don't know. But not enough, I should imagine, to account for her having £300. Rowland's a tight man of the pound.
Oh, thanks. We'll talk again. Nothing to eat since breakfast, and I'm starving. If anything occurs to you, something you've forgotten, you can contact me through the East Street station. Who the... Oh, it's you. Hang on a minute.
Hey. Lovely night.
Unlike velvet.
I've got to say this about Ashminster. It'll never make you rich, but it offers you a beauty you won't easily find in this sprawling world.
True. Lived here all your life, haven't you?
Oh, except for a year in London. My father's idea, to learn the business. That year in London dehydrated me. Felt I couldn't breathe properly. I wasn't living, just scurrying about like some frantic little insect, you know.
Coming across the cliffs?
Oh, yes. To the Lion. Care to join me?
I won't, thanks, all the same. I'm on my way to the cathedral.
Oh, they don't have services at this time of the night, do they?
Organ practice. I have to see my boss.
Oh, yes. That reminds me. I could do with some more postcards. The cathedral series, huh? Sell a flock over the holiday.
I'll drop you some in the morning. 10 dozen?
Better make it 12.
Will do. You heard the verdict?
On the radio. They suspect foul play, then?
Presumably.
Violent time, these. Even Ashminster offers no protection. When I first heard about it, I said, suicide. Poor girl drowned herself. High rate of suicide among students. They worry. Not like in my day.
Have the police been on to you, Arnold, since the inquest?
No.
The chap from the CID called on me this evening. Inspector Piper.
Harry Piper?
I don't know his first name.
Oh, about my age, thick-set, dark, Cornish-looking, with a cleft chin.
That's him.
Well, 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 small world. Harry Piper and I used to play in the county rugby team together. One of the best block forwards we ever had.
He may be calling on you, too.
Huh? Be glad to see him. Not that I can tell him much about the girl. Didn't know her all that well. Outside the shop, I mean. Never even saw her outside the shop. It's rather funny, really. Ashminster isn't all that big.
By the way, they know about the £300.
Do they?
I thought it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'd better be going. See you in the morning.
Yeah, come and have a pint when you're through with the organ.
I don't think I will, Arnold. Had a hard day.
Just spare me a moment.
Oh, of course, Harry. Come along in. Oh, you look frazzled, don't you?
I talked to Hammer.
Oh, I didn't find him all that wearing, personally. Rather restful, as a matter of fact.
I hope I'm not turning into a dirty old man with the advancing years, but... Roy, that girl was a doll.
She was, even in the mortuary.
Our boy is 32, 33 in November. He's good-looking, personable in his way, all that. So what's he doing poring over history books for the far end of the night? Is that all he was doing? Another thing, he has a good degree. He's bright, quick-witted. No mental handicap as far as anyone can see. So why is he peddling picture postcards for a pittance?
I can tell you the way he tells it, the way he told it to me. He got married in his last year at Cambridge and got a job in Canada when he came down. History lectureship at a university in Ontario. 2 years ago, his wife and child, a boy of 7, were killed when their car was hit by a train at a level crossing. Broke him up. Packed in his job, drifted, got on the bottle. Last year, when his money ran out, well, he turned up in Ashminster.
Mm. Why Ashminster? He's not a Tavernian, is he?
No, he comes from somewhere over on the East Coast. Why? Well, Ashminster to him is the cathedral.
A religious retreat, spiritual sanctuary, that kind of thing.
To rebuild his life.
Not coming on very fast, is he? 1 year and he's earning £17 a week after tax.
The rebuilding wasn't economic, Harry.
Yes, obviously not.
Well, that's the way he tells it. You don't have to believe him.
Roy, the girl's a doll, a real doll. I keep coming back to that. And Hammer's interest in her being purely academic.
Well, it's feasible.
Anything's feasible if you try hard enough. Tell me something. Do you think this life we lead, the daily exposure to villainy, thuggery, kinkery, the dirt of human nature, you think this makes us hard-boiled, over-cynical?
Oh, I shouldn't wonder. I never analyze it. Oh, excuse me. I have to answer that. Up here, isn't it?
Well, the last thing an organist needs in this cathedral is a tendency to vertigo. One fell out of this loft in the 1840s and broke his neck there on a choir stall.
Now, you should get danger money, Graham.
I'll talk to the dean about it. The reason I wanted to see you, James, how would you feel about leaving here?
Ashminster?
I'll tell you the position. I've just bought a business up in Dudley. It's going to give me more scope to do the things I want to do, more worthwhile things, rewarding things. I need someone to take over the paperwork, administration, sales promotion, and so forth. You're the ideal man for the job.
Thanks.
Naturally, there'll be an adjustment in salary. Also, there's a roomy flat for you, much better than one you have now.
I can't quite take this in. You're leaving Ashminster?
Oh, I'm going to hate it in some ways. So is Mary. But needs must. The boy's education's costing more and more every year. I have to expand, James. No choice.
What sort of business is it? Photography?
A small publishing company. Small, but well-established. Art books, brochures, good-class publicity material.
It happened very quickly, didn't it?
Very. But it had to happen like that. You see, the present owner is off to the Bahamas. A quick sale, nothing. So I had to move with speed.
When would you want me to go up there?
The day after tomorrow.
You did move with speed.
I can't leave Ashminster myself for a week or two. Lots of things to be wound up. The flat's fully furnished, James, even down to bed linen. You'd only have to your clothes to pack, that's all.
It isn't quite so simple as that, Graham.
You have no ties here?
No. But a commitment.
I'll be frank with you, James. I'm relying on you. After all, I have helped you out in the past.
When I needed a roof over my head.
That's not what it's about, return for favors received. This is good for you, James. It, It's your chance to rehabilitate yourself, take your proper place in the world. I can tell you now that it's often bothered me seeing a man of your caliber hawking postcards. Dudley could be your way back, James.
And you're handing it to me on a plate?
Well, there's no sentiment. I want you to have the job because I'm convinced you can make a success of it, thereby benefiting me.
I can't go, Graham.
But why not? What's the commitment?
Joan Kendall.
Well, who's she?
You met her.
Did I? When?
6-7 weeks ago. I brought her to the office. She wanted to change her job.
Oh, I remember. A pretty little thing. Isn't she at the university?
She's dead. Found in the river last Tuesday.
She's the girl... the inquest?
That's right.
But I don't follow. Why are you committed if she drowned herself?
She didn't drown herself.
I see. Well, that explains the police car. Happened to notice it outside your flat while I was talking to the dean. Are you under suspicion, James? Is that what it is?
I'm probably under suspicion, almost certainly. But that isn't the reason for the feeling of commitment. I'm committed because I have to find out whether or not I had a hand in her death, however it happened.
Don't you know?
I gave her a certain piece of advice which she followed. If I hadn't given her that advice, if she hadn't done what I suggested, she might be alive today.
What do you mean you might have had a hand in her death? James, I don't see that you can say that with any certainty.
I can't. That's why I have to stay here until I'm certain, one way or the other.
Well, if you say so.
I'm sorry, Graham.
What was the advice, may I ask?
After we talked to you and there was no job going till the end of the summer, I advised her to stay on with Arnold Rowland for then.
And what does Rowland say about it? Have you talked to him?
He isn't a man I know well. He might not understand my reason for wanting to know. I'm not sure I understand it myself.
It goes deeper than just the girl. Awful though it was, doesn't it?
Yes. This is the second time in 2 years that I've had close connections with violent death.
You weren't culpable. Not the first time. You were driving that car, yes, but that was all.
Why did I escape then? Why wasn't I smashed to death along with them?
Providence.
And was it Providence that Joan Kendall should wind up in the river?
Of course. Look, James, I know how you feel. In your place, I'd feel pretty much the same. But with this difference. I should feel that I must do something, not just sit and search myself for flaws and weaknesses.
I might be able to do something for you.
Oh, what?
I don't know yet.
Will you do something for me?
If I can.
Well then, think it over, sleep on it.
All right.
Come see me at lunchtime tomorrow.
I'll do that.
Well, aren't you going to stay? I've got a piece of Monteverdi I thought you might like.
I want to talk to the detective again. Good night, Ben.
Good night.
Cigarette? No, thanks. I always live on the job at the start of a case. The first 48 hours are vital, given that the thing has complications. If you don't crack it in the first 2 days, your chances diminish sharply. Now, what have you got for me?
I'm not sure that it will help.
Try it.
After you left me, I talked to Arnold Rowland.
What did he have to say?
It was more what he didn't say. I mentioned the £300 you found in her room, and he didn't seem the least surprised. He knew about it, in other words.
Maybe he gave it to her.
Maybe he did, but why? What for?
You said he was a hard man with a pound.
I expect you can bear that out. You played rugger with him, didn't you?
So if she went to him and asked him to lend her...
She wouldn't do that.
Why not? She's in financial difficulties. She works for him. What's more natural?
If she was in money difficulties, had a pressing debt to settle, would she stuff the money in a drawer and leave it there?
Who said it was in a drawer?
Well, I assumed.
You can leave the assumptions to me. That's what I'm here for.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do your job for you, but... You said it, anyway.
All right. You're doing your best, but don't shove so hard.
I'm sorry.
A detail. We found the money under the mattress, not in the drawer. Now, tell me, what makes you so sure she didn't ask Rowland for money?
The circumstances.
What circumstances?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, she told me she was having trouble with him and asked me to help her find another job. I took her along to Graham Hill, but he didn't have a vacancy. Not before the end of summer.
What kind of trouble? Did she specify?
Well, she didn't have to. Roland's a single man. It's obvious what the trouble was.
Not necessarily. Still, let's assume that. Roland makes a play for her. She doesn't fancy him. You can't find another job, so she goes on working for him.
On my advice. She needed the money coming.
She
could have found another job without your help. Why didn't she?
I told you, I advised her not to.
So she takes your advice, then runs into difficulties. She has to have £300 in a hurry, so she does a deal with Roland.
No.
Why?
Well, I know. I knew her well enough for that.
To you, she was honest, straight, pure?
Yes.
Wouldn't sell herself?
No.
Not in any circumstances?
Not in any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. You're an intelligent man, Hammer. You bristle with brains.
Thank you.
In this job, you wouldn't last 5 minutes.
You're saying I'm naive?
I'm saying you assume a consistency of behavior in people that they do not as a rule have. Especially girls of 19.
That's saying I'm naive.
Possibly. No, excuse me. Piper. Keep him down there for 3 or 4. No, no, wait. Show him into the interrogation room. That's funny. You know who's there?
Roland.
You must have thrown a scare into him, and he's come to throw suspicion on you. Rather funny, don't you think?
There is.
Another thing you need in this work, Hammer, is a sense of humor.
I thought I'd come along and have a chat, without it being official, if you follow me.
I'm glad you did, Arnold. Nice to see you again.
It's been a long time, Harry. One loses touch. You know how it is.
About it's not being official, Arnold, you know, don't you, that there could be foul play behind all this?
Of course. An open verdict.
Is there anything you have to tell me? Touching on the girl is, well, it has to be official.
Well, if you say so.
Well, as long as it's understood.
If it's how you want it, Harry.
It's how I want it. It's how it has to be. Of course, if you want to chew over old times, we can go around the corner and do it over a pint.
No, it's about the girl.
Okay, shoot.
I have to explain first. My own opinion, why I didn't come forward with his before.
Take your time, there's no rush.
When I first heard about it, I assumed it was suicide. Same as everyone else. It was a natural assumption.
Why?
Well, she was a moody sort of girl, you know, temperamental.
I've had several different accounts of this girl, and they all vary. That's to be expected, of course. Everyone sees things, other people, in his own individual way. What's strange here is that the more I have her explained to me, the more of a shadow she becomes.
Not, mark you, that I knew her well. Not outside the shop.
How was she in the shop?
Well, she wasn't rude to people, customers.
Hmm. Is that all?
Well, she didn't have a lot of airs and graces like some of the young ladies I've employed. No, she was aloof. I think that's the word. She lived by herself, if you see what I mean.
A loner.
Exactly. She didn't need people.
Self-assured?
Yes, very.
This doesn't square with a girl who's driven to end it all in the river, does it? Which is what you thought she did. What changed your mind, Arnold?
Changed my mind.
I take it you don't still think she killed herself. Otherwise you wouldn't be here.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, firstly, there's the verdict. Now, the coroner isn't a fool. He must have had good reason for presuming foul play. When I heard the verdict, I began to think again, as one would.
Of course.
And so I started to ask myself questions. Who would want to kill her? And why? Of course, it would have been a chance encounter. Lonely place, late at night.
It wasn't a sex killing.
Mm. So then I thought, it must have been someone she knew. Someone she trusted. Of course, as I say, I didn't know much about her private life. Hardly anything. But I did know about James Hammer.
What about him?
Well, she spent several nights a week in his flat.
Mm-hmm. All night?
Oh, I don't know that. Not for sure. My shop's just off the close, as you know. And I often saw her on her way through to him. And then if I was up late for any reason, I'd see her coming back. Usually around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
You weren't watching her, were you?
Spying on her? No, nothing like that. I just happened to see her, that's all. I didn't care what she did with her spare time.
He was coaching her for an exam.
I didn't think that had any particular significance, her visiting him at night, any connection with what happened. Well, that is, until earlier on tonight, when Hammer came round to the shop.
Why did that assume significance?
Well, Hammer isn't a friend of mine. He calls on me once every 2 months or so to send me postcards. Tonight was the very first time he called privately.
What did he want?
What happened was this. He was on his way to the cathedral, or so he said. So we walked across the close together. I was on my way to the Lion for a noggin. Been working late, dressing out, checking stock for the holiday weekend. We talked of this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just before we parted, he asked me whether I'd heard the verdict at the inquest. I said I had. And he asked me whether the police had been to see me. I said, no. And he said, they know about the £300.
Is that all?
He said it as though he thought I knew about it.
Do you?
No. No, it was double-dutch to me.
We found £300 in her room, in fibres.
You think Hannah thought I'd given it to her?
Did you?
What? I can't afford to make presents of that size to young ladies.
Neither can Hannah, that's for sure.
Now, I find it most peculiar. He's assuming that I knew.
Didn't you ask him to explain?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Well, he said it just before we parted.
Well, your not asking for an explanation could be considered peculiar, too. I mean, if it's rather subtle oddities we're looking for.
You're saying I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, it's not much, is it, to build a case on against Hammer?
Oh, I'm not trying to cast suspicion on Hammer, Harry. That happened. It puzzled me. It didn't seem to add up, and I felt it was my duty to tell you.
Well, I'm grateful. If more people took their civic obligations so seriously, our job would be a whole lot easier.
There is one other thing.
Yes?
Did you know he was thrown out of a college in America for assaulting a girl student?
No, I didn't know that.
Not what you would call a subtle little oddity, is it?
If it's true.
Oh, it's true, all right. I found out in a rather curious way. Shortly after he came to Ashminster and started to work for Graham Earle, he came into the shop and introduced himself. We got chatting, and he happened to mention that he'd taught history in a woman's college in Utica, New York, after he left the university in Canada. It so happened that a friend of mine, a Dr. Faber, an antiquarian, lives in Utica. So in my next letter to him, I mentioned this. And he wrote back and said there'd been a big scandal about Hammer. He'd attacked one of the students and been heaved out on his ear. I brought the letter with me.
Can you leave this with me, Arnold?
No, of course, Harry. Keep it as long as you like. As I say, I ought to have come forward with this before. But until I heard the verdict, I really didn't see the point.
Is he in?
Oh, yes, Mr. Hammer. He's expecting you. He's on the phone at the moment.
Well, Rose, we shan't be seeing much more of one another, more's the pity.
It is rather sad, yes.
Did you think of coming to Dudley?
Well, Mr. Earle wanted me to, yes. I talked it over with Mum and Dad, and they were all for it. But I knew they were only thinking of me. Mum's still having trouble with that leg, and I feel I can't leave her, you know?
Have you got another job?
Not yet, but something will turn up. Oh, you can go in now. He's off the phone.
I'm very glad, James. More than I can say.
I didn't think I was myself last night. Probably thrown by the detective. He's a very agile questioner. I'm afraid I talked a lot of nonsense.
Well, I wouldn't say that. What you said about feeling yourself committed made a certain amount of sense in the spiritual way.
One of my troubles, the only one, is an acute inability to make up my mind, take a decision. Ever since that happened in Canada. In the simplest decisions, like what to have for breakfast.
That's very often a post-shock symptom.
So they tell me. But sometimes, when it's very bad, when something's sprung on me, like last night, and I have to say yes or no then and then, I start scurrying about inside my head like a blind mouse, and I have the sensation that I'm going out of my mind.
No, you're not going out of your mind. You've made the right decision. I'm sure of it. Dudley's the right thing for you. The way out of all your difficulties. I'm convinced of it.
When shall I take off?
When you like, as soon as maybe. How long will it take you to pack?
Oh, I'm already packed. My worldly possessions don't go beyond a couple of suitcases. All I have to do now is get a travelling basket for the cat.
You could leave this afternoon, then.
There's only the lease of the flat.
Oh, I'll take care of that.
Oh, thanks. That's a great help.
Do you need any money?
Well, by the time I paid for the basket and fed myself on the way and at the other end...
And tell Rose to give you 25 out of petty cash. Now, I'd better fill you in on some of the details. What to look for when you're checking through the inventory.
Morning, Roy.
Boy, you look rough.
I didn't get a bed till 3:30.
Well, this should wake you up. The first real breakthrough.
When did this come in?
Half an hour.
Oh, Bristol are really on their toes. You sure there's no mistake this is the girl, Joan Kendall?
It's Joan Kendall, all right. I circulated her picture last Tuesday afternoon.
And when can we see it?
15-20 minutes. They're getting set up now. Come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee to wake you up.
So now we know where she got the 300.
There's big money in pornography.
Bigger than I thought. He presented her some sort of purity symbol.
Hammer?
You're a dedicated scholar. Knows it all, but can't apply any of it to real life.
Where are you going? Where are you going with this?
I'll keep it real. I want another course in after Hammer. It's on the way to Dudley by road, driving a 63 Carter station wagon. Color blue, registration 63 BRD.
I have a right to call a lawyer.
Certainly, if you think you need one.
Obviously I need one if I'm going to be charged.
Who said anything about a charge?
Well, that's what I'm here for. What is all this? Why have you brought me back here? Why do you have me arrested on the road?
Not arrested, old son.
The police car almost ran me into a ditch.
We just want you to sit down nice and quiet and watch a film.
What sort of film?
A blue film.
Is this one of your funnies, the Bob Hope bit?
No, far from it. That's why she was murdered. How's it coming, Roy?
Oh, just a few seconds.
Hammer, what did you do when you left the university in Canada?
I got a job in America, upstate New York.
Doing the same thing, lecturing in history?
That's right, in a woman's college.
How long did it last?
Half a term.
What happened?
I quit.
Why?
There was this girl, a student in my class, emotionally unbalanced. A sort of love-hate thing fixed on me. She came into my room one night, put it all out on me, how unhappy she was. How it would be all right if only I could care for her a little. When I tried to get her out, she raised the roof, accused me of trying to assault her. The dean said there'd be a full inquiry. I told her in that case what she could do with the job.
Are you afraid of the inquiry?
If the dean wasn't prepared to accept my word before that of a girl obviously unbalanced, then I didn't want to know.
You're proud.
I was short of time then. Well, so I thought.
All set to go.
Good. Run it. What do you think of that?
I think that, without any doubt at all. It was the most revolting thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
You saw nothing artistic in it?
Is that what the creep from Wilkins claims?
We don't know who the creep is. We thought you might, being in the business.
Now, look, I sell picture postcards and calendars. Nothing to do with pornography. Where did you get it?
One of those ironic little quirks I was telling you about. Bristol had a tip-off that a kinky party was coming up at a private club. They raided it and found this movie instead.
Someone saw it and knocked her off.
You know that?
You have a better idea?
Well, no. Not offhand.
So we start from square one.
The creep who made the film.
Shouldn't be too difficult to find him, should it?
You'd say it was a professional job, would you, the camera work?
Oh, for sure. There was no mug behind that camera.
It narrows the field, but not all that much. There must be hundreds of professional photographers even in this neck of the woods. Also, it could have been shot anywhere, so that adds up.
It was shot down here on the moor. In the exterior sequences, you get a clear view of Craig Tor.
How about the cottage? You recognize that, too?
No, I didn't.
You sure?
Certain. Look, can't the people in Bristol help? The people who run the club?
All they get is a phone number to call, and that's changed each time.
And there's a code. And the film is delivered and collected after dark, so no one gets a good look at the carrier. Emma, are you sure? You work around photography. Doesn't a cameraman, a director, leave his handwriting on a film so that the initiated at least can spot it?
I don't know who made it. I told you. But I do know this. He doesn't deserve to be alive.
Oh, I don't know. Is he any more to blame than the people who pay for it?
This load of filth resulted in someone's murder.
The girl didn't have to be in it.
All right, you made that point. I'm naive. She was nothing but a little tramp after all. Can I go now?
Where were you in the early hours of Monday morning?
Asleep. I can't prove it, though. You see, my cat doesn't speak English.
I can't help feeling a bit sorry for Hammer, can you?
No, I don't know. Maybe he thought less about his own soul and more about...
I don't know.
I'm only a policeman, not a darn philosopher.
Well, what do we do now?
The long, tedious haul again. Start checking, as he says, all the photographers in the area. Get a blow up at that cottage and trace the owner. Plod, plod, plod. I'll get there in the end, sir.
Here. He's over at the cathedral rehearsing for Tuesday's recital.
When do you expect him back?
He's not coming back. I thought you were in Dudley.
Rose, you have charge of all the accounts, don't you?
Well, not all of them. I do the day book and the petty cash.
How about the models? How are they paid?
We don't use many. When it's an advertising or publicity job, the agency send their own models.
But when we do use them, who pays them?
Well, I do as a rule.
By check or cash?
However they want it. Cash more often.
Suppose Mr. Earle wanted to make an exceptionally large payment by cash. Would you go to the bank and draw it for him?
Like as not I would.
And there's a record of it?
Oh, yes. We have to keep records for the tax.
Rose, do you recall drawing out £300 for him?
£300? Oh, I don't think so. When exactly?
6 or 7 weeks ago.
No. No, I'd remember a sum as big as that.
Suppose he drew it out. Would you have a record?
If he drew it on the office account.
And if he drew it on his private account?
He has a separate book for that.
And where's that kept?
In his desk.
Rose, I want you to do something for me. A very special favor.
Piper. All right. I'll go down there. Get the car on. Roy.
Yeah?
You can stop the machine.
Well, what's happened?
The case just came to an end. Arnold Rowland shot himself.
When?
A few minutes ago. Some kids playing near the rugby ground saw a red coupe drive up and a man go into the changing rooms. Then they heard a shot. They told him up when he phoned in. The thing that made the kids stop and stare was that all he was tricked out in was football togs. County jersey, boots, the lot. He was even carrying a scrum cap.
Well, I don't see anything.
Over there, on the massage table. I suppose this is what you'd call a ritual suicide.
But why?
Why did he shoot himself?
Now, why all the elaboration? Getting into his football gear, laying himself out here like this?
And perhaps that's the saddest part of the whole thing. He wanted at the end to go back to the days when life was good. When he wore that jersey on Saturday afternoons and the crowd roared and he was a hero. A man among men. When life had no more problem than, well, more taxing than how to smuggle the ball back from a ruck. At least he tied it up all nice and neat for us. No doubt he left it all on this tape.
It's funny. These recorded words are the last words I'm going to speak on this earth. And yet now I'm sitting here in front of the mic. None of it seems real, as if it all happened to someone else. How do you begin? You want some facts, don't you? Right. When did I first see her as a woman? I can't give you the exact time, day of the week, even the month. But it was evening, after hours. We were dressing out the window together. For the first time, I noticed what beautiful hands she had. I was gone. Completely gone. I was in love with her. I worked with her every day. Yet she remained the original enigma. The smile on the Mona Lisa. I'm going to spare you and myself the details of what happened the next few weeks. She goes on working for me like nothing's happened. I am servilely grateful for any sweet crumb of comfort, a smile, even an acknowledgement of the fact that I'm living and breathing. We come to the night before she died. That night, more to get away from myself and my thoughts, I drove over to a small club outside the city. A little gambling, music, pleasant bar. Chap who runs it, an old mate, says, I'm glad you showed up tonight, really. We're having a special film show for a select circle. £8 a head, 12, perhaps 15 guys. Long room over the garage. The man was right. A special film. Very special. She was in it. That nice, rather shy girl. Serious student of history. With those fine hands. The star of a blue movie. And not looking as though it's any great agony. That her arm had been twisted. Oh no, just the reverse. She really put her heart into her work. And that was how she got the £300. Next night, I wait for her in the close under that big copper beech. She comes out of Hammers after midnight. I stop her. She's tired. has an early lecture. Won't it keep till the afternoon? It won't keep till the afternoon. So, we walk through the sleeping streets, and presently we're on Stephen's Meadow. I tell her about the film. I tell her what it does to me. I say, you can imagine how I felt, what I suffered, seeing the girl you're in love with want to marry, doing those things up there on the screen in front of a group of sweaty-faced men. You know what she did? She laughed at me, like it was the funniest thing she ever heard. She laughed at me. I went berserk. There was a large stone. Afterwards, I dropped her off the bridge. That's it. It's all yours now.
Let's get through the cynical crust, Roy. You can shrug that off, just one of those things.
Easy, Harry. Put me down.
Sorry. Oh, I used to take a liberal view of all this. The peddling of porn, striptease, dirty books, blue movies, part of democracy. If people want that stuff and are prepared to pay for it, why not let them have it? What harm does it do? Real harm. Actually, I used to think it was all rather sad. You know, tired businessmen having to get their kicks that way, furtive in the dark. But criminal, no.
The girl's culpable, you know that. She didn't have to be it.
How culpable? Is the exploited equal in guilt with the exploiter? I doubt that. Besides, who knows what pressure a 19-year-old dolly bird is subjected to by a sex-ridden society?
Sir? What now?
Well, you get the rotten. You get the man who made the film, of course.
Any ideas?
Ideas? Hunch, perhaps. No, more than a hunch. A growing conviction. I wonder why I didn't think of it before. Graham Earl.
Graham Earl? Pillar of the cathedral, one of Ashminster's leading and most respected citizens.
Oh, Charlie Peace played the organ boy. Dr. Crippen was highly respected. Hammer took her to Earl for a job.
He told her no.
But seeing his chance. Chance to up the market value of the product. Fresh-looking young girl, college student, instead of the beat-up old coal ladies they usually use in a porn movie. Oh, yes. Yes, I can see it. Earl makes his approach privately, not in the office where no one knows. You know, she's bored. Well, the boredom enters into this, too, if you think about it. He puts it to her. No real harm in it, Ducky. An artistic endeavor. Better to show people making love than making war. And there's 300 big lovely smackers in it for you.
If he did that, if it was Earl, he's a whole lot better judge of character than Hammer.
And that, my friend, would not be difficult. When it comes to understanding what's happening today, judging the people who haven't been dead 100 years, James Hammer is among the worst. Well, we'll go along and have a little talk with Mr. Earl. It could be revealing. Very revealing indeed.
But James, I thought you were in Dudley.
I'll get to the point, Earl. For a whole year, I've hated your guts. Sometimes it's been so intense, it's been like a pain.
Are you drunk?
I've hated you because you're the most loathsome of all things. A hypocrite. Mealy mouthed but slimy. Serving your church, but making it pay off big. Friend of the dean and chaplain, taking the old payola. Choir groups, school groups, the plushier weddings. The honest photographer.
Look, if you think...
You work it on me, too. Chap down on his luck needs a place to live. You can help. Bit of charity. An attic in the close. Cathedral property. You know how to fix it. For me. You get the lease and sublet to me for 30% more than you pay for it.
This is absurd.
I know, Earl. I've known a long time. The hatred I've had all these months is nothing to what I feel now. Since I've seen that load of photographic filth, you've no doubt made a packet out of.
What are you talking about?
I have proof, the facts. I recognize your flowing style. You're a darn fine cameraman, I'll give you that. I also recognize that little hideaway of yours on the moor. You got a little careless there, Earl, letting that be seen so clearly.
This is proof?
This is proof.
What are you going to do with it? Give it to the police? James, let's talk this out like rational men. If I had not accepted the commission to make that film...
Someone else would have done it.
But of course.
The standard get-out clause, everyone uses it. The Fifth Amendment.
I had to have the money. Yes, I was pushed. Soaring cost of living, 2 sons at university. I had no room for maneuvering.
You had to have a new business in Dudley.
The only way I could meet my obligations. Well, what's so wrong, so hypocritical in meeting one's obligations?
Is that what you're getting me into? A pornography factory in Dudley?
No.
I bought the business out of the proceeds of the film.
And other films like it.
All right, but that was my last.
From now on, you play it clean?
I have no need to take the risk. The pressure's off. Look at this realistically, James. Lift your head from the history books. People are different today. Their needs are different. As the young say, better show them making love than war.
Is that how you pitched it to her in those words?
What difference does it make?
The difference it makes, Earl, is that that girl is dead. The difference it makes is that girl was murdered.
But not because of the film.
Certainly because of the film. A matter of days after this revolting epic is finished, she's pulled out of the river. Coincidence? We're being rational. Of course she was killed because of the film.
Do you know that for a fact?
I don't know the details. I don't know the person who bashed her head.
You don't even know for sure that it was murder. For all you know, it could have been suicide.
She'd drowned herself in an access of shame at what she's done. Earl, I saw that film less than an hour ago.
Then you know she wasn't worth bothering about. You know she had no more moral sense than her.
But what are you doing?
I'm going to throw you out of this loft.
You're out of your mind.
Let me go.
It was enough to kill that organist of the 1840s.
There are people down there, witnesses.
Over you go!
Help! Help! Up here, help!
Come on! Get out of the way!
Don't be a fool!
I tell you...
Oh, sorry about that.
Why the heck couldn't you leave it be? Oh, you pack a punch.
Are you all right?
Winded.
Now, sit down. Mr. Earle, we have certain information about the making and distribution of a pornographic film.
Now, look. You can't believe all Hammer says. And I can explain it anyway. True, it was my cottage.
You shot the film in your cottage, yes.
I'm not saying anything.
You already said a mouthful.
I was unnerved. The man was trying to kill me.
Roy, take Mr. Earle to the office, will you?
I say nothing without my lawyer.
You'll have your lawyer.
Mr. Earle.
All right. But you're making a mistake. You'll hear more about it. I can promise you that.
You're right, Hammer.
Why did you have to butt in?
Butting in is my business.
Why didn't you let me throw him over?
What good would that have done you?
He killed that girl. But for him, she'd be alive
that
now.
That isn't the literal fact of the matter. The literal fact of the matter is that Arnold Rowland killed her.
You know that for a fact?
Positive. He shot himself an hour ago. That's a confession on a tape recording.
Oh, no.
He wanted to marry her. Saw the movie at a stag party. When he taxed her with it, she laughed. That drove him over the edge.
Something else Earl has to answer for.
Yes?
How will he answer for it? You'll charge him under the obscene publication act?
Yeah, now, you had a university education. You know we don't make the laws.
And he'll get what, a few months?
If that.
Okay, I'll get him when he comes out.
Let's say that again.
I'll get him when he comes out.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. I'm not just shooting off my mouth.
You won't do anything like that, Hammer. You're pretty short on common, but you're not a complete net.
All right, you tell me. You're the realist, the one who knows the full score.
All right. He's vermin. But you destroy him and you spend the next 10 years in prison. This proves anything?
Look, I had a hand in this too, you know. I led that girl to her death.
How the blue blazes did you come to work that one?
I took her to his office. I advised her to stay on with Roland.
You're determined to get in on the act, aren't you? Get a chunk of the action. You have to be guilty, don't you? Maybe you led your wife and child to their death.
I was driving the car.
That's what I mean. You have to hog the action. Listen, boy. I didn't know your lady wife or your little boy. But I do know about Miss Joan Kendall now. Short course, but packed, as you might say. I don't suppose Mr. Graham Earl had to use a thumbscrew to get her to be in the film, do you?
Now, look here, Papa.
Answer the question.
Oh, no.
As to her modesty being outraged, her virtue embarrassed by the honest, if somewhat bucolic, attentions of poor old Rowley. When he told her he had seen her in that movie, she laughed.
There is a moral issue.
Will you listen to me? She laughed at him, Hammer. She laughed in his face.
That doesn't exonerate Earl.
Now,
not in my eyes.
Listen, you're not going to exonerate or unexonerate anyone. Look, go back to what you really can do, teaching history. You can't do much harm there.
Thanks.
Well, sir, you might have a better influence on the next Joan Kendall you meet. You might be able to stop her selling herself for 300 quid.
You think so?
I wouldn't put my money on it. Go on, I'll buy you a beer. I know how you feel, but it's all in a day's work. Honestly. I promise you.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.